Good morning, everyone. For those online, if you don't know me, I am Pastor Susan, and I'm one of the pastors here. Pastor Ben and Caitlin are enjoying it. They're calling it their mini retreat. So I know they are having a fabulous time, and it's well-deserved. This morning, Jesse and I were talking about this all this morning. We were texting back and forth, and then we were talking about it during Sunday school and everything, how God had put on her heart a certain thing at the last moment, and how she had to change everything. And she goes, Pastor Susan, I was up till 2:30. I said, well, we paid tag because God got me up at 2:30. Sit there to kind of rearrange things with what I was going to say today. And as we started going and comparing notes, we realized that, oh, that same voice, that same spirit. And because it's that late, we have no slides. But I told him I like going old school every once in a while. I can remember before we had all this technology. And it was a great time to focus on the cross. So as we have today's message, I invite you all to focus on the cross. I do a lot of weddings and funerals. Don't ask me why. I think it's because the older I get, more of my friends are passing on, which is great because they're Christians and I know where they're going, so we celebrate. And the weddings, it's because a lot of my youth members or my college kids or things like that, they're all getting of the age where they're getting married. But when I do premarital counseling, in the very first session, I give the couple each a sheet of paper. And I markers, and I send them to opposite sides of the room. And they are not allowed to make eye contact or to speak to each other till they are done with the first assignment. Now, their first assignment is to draw a diagram who is in their family. And they'll want me to do more. What do you mean by family? Ha! That's the whole idea. So it's like, who is in your family? And after doing this for over 20 years, I can tell you, very few people have the same idea of what makes up a family. So I thought that after doing it this long, and Robert and I being married now for 40-some years and everything, that Robert and I, our idea of family and the way we do things, you know, we're kind of out of the box, you know. So Lily came to me after church, though, last week and told me about her brothers. She explained to me that the Bridgers, our sixth graders in youth, were her brothers. I agreed with her. I said, yes, Lily, they're your brothers in Christ. Those of you who know Lily will know what I'm talking about. She looked at me like a parent explaining something carefully to a child not paying attention. No, Mom, they are my brothers. You're right, Lily. They are your brothers through Jesus Christ. And she gave me that Lily look again. Mom, they're my real brothers. We're family. And she was right. It's how she was raised. You know, just as she is ours, a treasured and much loved member of our family, a gift from God that we prayed for, that she's an answer to prayer, the guys from the Bridgers are also. To her, Jesse is her big sister, and the girls who sit in the front row with her are all of her family. She tells me over and over again, we are all family, Mom. You know, I shouldn't have expected any other response from Lily and everything. She has lived this her entire life. She has grown up with many brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews. Hi, Frank and Alex. They're back there, and they're her nieces and nephews. Great nieces and nephews, which are hers right now in the nursery. Cousins, grandmas, and grandpas. And they are all part of her family. They have been adopted in and are to her, her real family. A family based on love and a family based on faith. So, of course, the Bridgers to her are her brothers, her real brothers. And when I look out into the sanctuary, I see our family, our real family. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5 says, and this is from the Voice version, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, who grants us every spiritual blessing in these heavenly realms where we live, not because of anything we have done, but because of what He has done for us. God chose us to be in a relationship with Him even before He laid out plans for this world. He wanted us to live holy lives characterized by love, free from sin, and blameless before Him. And He destined us, all of us, to be adopted as His children through the covenant Jesus inaugurated in His sacrificial life. This was His pleasure and His will for us." We know about adoption in our family. I know from the first minute I held baby Lily in my arms, I loved her. I loved her just as I loved all my other children. When Frank came to us as a baby, there was no question he was a member of our family. Even till much later, he was adopted. Just the way it is. And when I look at Lily's birth certificate today, just like with my other children, Robert is listed as her father, and I am listed as her mother. But for the first 4 years of our life, that was not our reality. When we went to court, though, to change her name, her parents, her very lineage, was changed legally. And in that courtroom were many that considered themselves family that came from near and far to be part of the celebration of her becoming an Evans legally. Now she is ours and a joint heir with her other siblings of our love and all that we have. But when she decided she wanted to give her life to Jesus, she was adopted again. This time into an even larger family than ours, into the family of God. And all of heaven rejoiced as she became legally a child of God and a joint heir of Jesus. And you know what? All those in church with her, her family, rejoiced. And it was made possible through the love and sacrifice of Jesus. And to her, that just made her family larger. And they are her real family. Ephesians 1, 6 through 8 says, "God is the one worthy of praise for showing us His grace. He is merciful and marvelous, freely giving us these gifts through Jesus, the Beloved." Hello? There. "His blood freely flowing down from the cross, setting us all free. We are forgiven for our sinful ways by the richness of His grace, which He has poured all over all of us." You see, Jesus paid the price for the adoption for each and every one of us who are believers into the family of God. We tell our kids, and you can ask the youth kids, we repeat this over and over again. We're family. We are blood relatives because as a child of God, it's His blood that was shed for us that makes us that family. So, yep, somebody asks you, we are blood relatives. This concept of family might be hard for you to understand. In theory, we get it, but when it comes to living it out, it's not so easy. But you know what? That's okay. This type of thinking is a change for many of us. But realize the concept of family has changed throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, a family was defined as those persons related by blood, marriage, slaveship, and they even listed animals. That's Exodus 20:10. The family was a very close-knit unit, and loyalty was very, very strong. The family was held together by the dominant figure of the father. They called it the father, but it didn't have to be the biological father. It could be the grandfather. It could be an uncle. It could be a male that was adopted into the family because they took adoption very seriously even back then, if you were a male and Jewish and you did not have a son, someone to carry on that lineage, you would go and you would find a family who had a lot of kids or couldn't afford kids, and you would adopt them. But in the lineage that was listed, their bloodlines, their history, and everything was changed. And that was their concept of father at that time. Family honor and respect was very, very important. Now you go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, with Jesus coming on the scene, the Christian families changed. In the Old Testament, we saw multiple wives, concubines, things like this. In the Christian family, they usually only had one husband and one wife, and this is in the New Testament. Children, relatives, slaves, servants, and others who lived with them for whatever reason was still under the title of family. The focus of family structure and family lineage changed from the earthly father and was replaced by lineage from God the Father, accessible to anyone through Jesus Christ. Therefore, all who believed on Jesus became part of a broader family of God. How many of you are related to someone at Cornerstone that you have family members? Yep. See, a biological family traditionally was and still is defined by blood origins and common ancestries. Anyone here ever taken the DNA test to track your ancestry? One of my daughters got really into that and everything. She wanted to know what, where, whatever, and she was surprised. But I thought this was, I'm not, wherever. No, it doesn't matter how the bloodline came through. They were raised by. They were adopted into the family. Many people are searching for their identity, their family tree, through companies that trace your DNA and records. Some are just curious, and others are searching for their identity. One of the favorite shows that Lily, when we were going through her adoption and afterwards, as she would sit down and watch all the shows about your family. And she would want to know, you know, where did they come from? What's this, 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 and this, and this? And so we would sit and watch them over and over again. And the people, most of them were looking because something was missing within their lives. Why do I not look like them? Or where did we get this part of our family? Or why are we such losers? Or why are they really good at this? And they thought if they traced back and forth, you know, far enough in their ancestries, they'd find the answer to it. They were trying to find their identity. If you are a child of God, your true identity is as a child of God. The reality for all who believe is that they are a child of the King, creator of the universe. You are part of his family, as are all who believe. Jesus throughout life shows us what family looks like. If I was to ask you, who is Jesus' mother? Can you, huh? Somebody said it. Mary, exactly. Who is Jesus' father? I heard different answers there. Some answer Joseph, some answer God. Okay, Mary was his mother and Joseph was his son. But he was the father that he knew growing up too, the human father. The only glimpse we have of Jesus' childhood is when he was in the temple. You know what? He was there, and he was amazing. The temple scholars and his parents have realized, we don't know where this kid is. We're going to go searching for him. They go there, and they say, what are you doing here, basically? And he looks at them, and he says, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? He wasn't talking about Joseph and carpentry. He was talking about the word of God, his heavenly father's business. In Mark 3, we read about how Jesus' biological family came asking for him. The Bible says, then Jesus entered a house and again a crowd gathered. So he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Mark 3, 20 to 21. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Jesus asked, who are my mother and my brothers? And then he looked at those seated in a circle around him, and he said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Mark 3, 31 through 34. Eventually, his biological family believed he really was the Son of God. His half-brother James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem and wrote the book of James, of all things. Another half-brother, Jude, wrote the short book of Jude and found right before Revelation in the Bible. Jesus always loved and honored his mother. She was at the cross when Jesus was dying and asked John to take care of her. He told John that she was now his mother, and he told Mary that John was now her son. Jesus used his natural family to teach us that there is another family, a much larger family, in which you and I as believers belong to, and that is the family of God. It is an eternal family connected through time and space, and it's held together by the overwhelming love of God and by the freedom bought and paid for by Jesus. I grew up in a church culture where they called each other brother and sister. I have pastored a church where we had an Hispanic service and congregation, and we were brothers and sisters, and we greeted each other with a holy kiss. It was to be a constant, visible reminder that we are a family. I'm not recommending you do that. But that was our love for one another, to show that it was steadfast. It was unconditional, just like a family, biological. I can tell you, with all my kids and everything like that, there are times when I wanted to shut the door and walk the other way. But they're my kids. And I love them no matter what. Yeah, sometimes you have to set boundaries, and that's hard, because you love them no matter what. But no matter what, there's always love and forgiveness and open arms. And you know God has them, because you don't stop praying for him. And God allows you to love them where they're at, no matter what's going on. He allows forgiveness to take place. And he restores families. In the family of God, it's the same way. We have the same father. As I tell the kids, we have the same blood. And if we are truly made in the image of God and are following his example, we will love unconditionally. We will forgive. We will open arms. And you never have to worry about division, because love unifies. Because love makes you that one family together. Cornerstone is a church of great love. It is a giving church. You give of your time, your finances, of yourselves to others. Whether you have not acknowledged it before or not, whether you've acknowledged it before or not, we are a family. Our lineage comes directly from God the Father. Our adoption was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are part of the eternal family of God. and that family is in it. There are no cultural, ethnic boundaries. We are one through Christ Jesus. And together, this family is the church. So when I ask you again, how many of you have family who are part of Cornerstone? Everyone should raise their hands. Because you know what? There are times you can ask my kids and grandkids. They haven't wanted to acknowledge me as their mother or grandmother. They're back there laughing. I know. Alex is going, I love you. But no matter what, we're always family. And we, no matter what, we know we will be there for one another. And if you look around, this is your family. And as the body of Christ, known as Cornerstone, we will be there for one another. We will love unconditionally. We will die to self if we have to. I remember one of my lessons in church history that always got me was the fact if somebody in the early churches was caught sinning and purposely disregarding things that were set down, you are supposed to do this and this, because at that time there was a huge persecution going on. And your whole church body, your house churches, could be gone. They could be arrested. So it was very serious. And they could come and ask forgiveness, but what they would do was they would actually, in the entrance of the church, the house, when church started, they would make them lay down and the people would walk over them to get in. And they'd stay there during church. And to leave, they would walk over them to go out. It was supposed to symbolize, were they willing to lay down their lives for one another? And when they knew that restoration and a change of heart had happened, they would greet them with open arms and they would celebrate. We are that family. Not the going down on the ground and walking over. No. But the fact that we're here for one another. We love one another. And I thank God that you are my family, our family. Ephesians 1 continues, and it gives words for what has been in my heart this last week as we have been praying. It says, this is why, for this reason, when I heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus that is present in your community and of your great love, for all God's people, our family, and the extended family, I haven't stopped thanking him for you. I am continually speaking to him on your behalf in my prayers. And here's what I say. God of our Lord Jesus, the anointed Father of glory, I call out to you on behalf of your people, our family. Give them minds ready to receive wisdom and revelation so they will truly know you. Open the eyes of their hearts and let the light of your truth flood in. Shine your light on the hope you are calling them to embrace. Reveal to them the glorious riches you are preparing as their inheritance. Let them see the full extent of your power that is at work in those of us who believe, and may it be done according to your might, your power, your will. And church, I pray today, Lord, may it be done to our family. In Jesus' name, amen. We are done. You are done.